Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, May 1st, 2025. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined, Education, Math, Art, Sum Up Cool Craft. Dentist students challenged to use math skills in creative way, by Danette Beckett, Decatur. Gavin Krim, a seventh grader at Dennis Lab School, used math to create art. I have different equations here, and each equation makes a line, he said. I have 80 lines in total. Gavin is one of Jason Lauritsen's algebra students who took on the assignment of creating artwork using math equations. Art is math. Math is art, the teacher said. It's all in STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. The various art pieces created by his students will be on display until Friday, May 2nd, at the Children's Museum of Illinois, 55 South Country Club Road, Decatur. Through their project-based learning, the students intersected mathematics and visual art, resulting in an inspiring collection of original pieces, the math teacher said. The assignment, including drawings, the math equations, and sewing, was required for the project. As a seventh grade algebra student, Gavin didn't have to do the assignment. The majority of them are my seventh grade accelerated and my eighth grade algebra students, Lauritsen said about the required lesson. But Gavin did it just for the joy of math. Gavin said he appreciates both art and math. Displaying the artwork was an added benefit. It's cool, he said about the exhibit. The process began with a drawing created using straight lines. They could do anything they wanted, but they had to use 60 straight lines that started and stopped on a grid point, Lauritsen said. And it had to be school appropriate. Other than that, run with it. The lines also had to run in angles as well as horizontal and vertical. The teacher learned about a similar project while attending a national project-based learning conference last year. He adjusted the assignment to fit his classes. We're working on a slope. That's the standard that we're teaching, Lauritsen said. Asher Tyler is one of the seventh grade accelerated math students. His artwork was a row of five footballs with the blocked letters EA, representing his interests in popular video games. I first made the rough draft of my drawing, he said. We had to label the lines and all the points. Then we had coordinating grids. The students had to do the math to create every line in their artwork. If the equations don't add up, the lines would be crooked or out of place. Once the picture looks exactly like the drawing, the student knows he or she has the math right, Lauritsen said. The next step is to add the coordinating lines to a grid placed on the back of a canvas. The front side is solid black. When they sew the lines on the grid, it reveals the final clear image of the project on the front. The math took nearly 6 weeks to complete and correct. The sewing took maybe 2 days, Lauritsen said. All of Lauritsen's students turned in a report. However, not all were able to finish the artwork. Several took on a project that was difficult to finish, and not everybody used their time wisely, stayed on task, and got to this part, he said. Project-based learning is fundamental for Dennis Lab School students, according to the teachers. You can create engagement and give them a reason to learn this, other than it's going to help you someday, Lauritsen said. They're working on it diligently, because there's a goal at the end. The artwork on display is accompanied by a final report, which includes all of the equations, the initial drawings, and the student's reflection. I think it's really cool that we could come out to a museum and display it for everyone to see, Asher said. This article is accompanied by two full-color photos attributed to Joseph Ressler Photos, Herald and Review. The first is captioned, Seventh grader Gavin Krim shows the equations he used to create an art piece for the Dennis Lab School math projects being exhibited at the Children's Museum of Illinois in Decatur on Monday, April 28th. The second is captioned, lines mapped out by math equations create art pieces for Dennis Lab School students to exhibit at the Children's Museum of Illinois in Decatur on Monday, April 28th. Agriculture, a win for Illinois farmers. EPA issues emergency waiver to continue selling E15 gasoline. By Brendan Moore, Springfield. Illinois agriculture and political leaders reacted positively to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's decision to allow consumers to keep buying higher ethanol blend E15 gasoline this summer. While the move is good news for drivers hoping to save a little money at the pump and farmers who sell their corn to ethanol producers, it frustrated environmentalists concerned about potential harm to air and water quality. The emergency waiver issued by the EPA on Monday prevents retailers in most states from having to stop selling E15 gasoline on May 1st. While the waiver remains in effect only through May 20th, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin signaled that he plans to keep issuing waivers through September 15th, the date when the federal government typically would allow E15 sales in all states again. Brian Duncan, president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, called the move a win for Illinois farmers, noting that more than 657 million bushels of corn, or about 30% of all corn produced in the state, is used towards ethanol production. We believe year-round sales of E15 will yield significant, measurable, and noticeable economic and environmental benefits for rural, suburban, and urban residents, Duncan said. Most gasoline sold across the U.S. is blended with 10% ethanol, but 15% blends are becoming increasingly common, particularly in the Midwest, where most of the nation's corn is grown. E15 gasoline generally costs at least 10 cents less a gallon than E10 gasoline, but the EPA had previously prohibited its sale during the summer over concerns that its use during the summer driving season could increase smog. But the EPA has relaxed restrictions on E15, granting a series of short-term waivers in 2022, 2023, and 2024 to allow its sale nationwide through the summer. And last year, the EPA issued a rule allowing year-round sales in Illinois and seven other Midwestern states: Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. Illinois agriculture leaders and other advocates hope for a legislative solution that would allow year-round sales permanently. We urge leaders to continue advancing proposals for year-round E15. Helping enhance our nation's energy independence while offering consumers a more affordable fuel option, said Duncan of the Farm Bureau. Garrett Hawkins, president of the Illinois Corn Growers Association, said that corn farmers need growth in the domestic ethanol industry to boost prices and farm family profitability. We're grateful to the president and his administration for prioritizing year-round access to E15, Hawkins said. The best case scenario for Illinois farm families is to now build on this momentum and pass higher blend legislation that will benefit all Americans, especially rural America, and prevent the need for annual emergency waivers. Trump administration officials said Monday's action will lower consumers' costs and give them more choices at the pump, while also increasing the demand for corn and reducing America's reliance on imported energy. The biofuels energy industry and politicians in both major parties argue that ethanol helps farmers, lowers prices at the pump, and reduces greenhouse gas because the fuel burns more cleanly than straight gasoline. High blends of biofuels help folks save money at the gas pump, reduce our dependence on foreign oil, cut carbon emissions, and support critical markets for Illinois family farmers. I'm pleased to see the Trump administration taking this step to allow the sale of E15 and ultimately provide more certainty for producers and consumers at a time when they need it most, said Representative Nikki Buzinski, Democrat Springfield, who also called for year-round sales. But ethanol consumes about 40% of the nation's corn crop, and environmentalists argue that higher corn production leads to higher use of fertilizers that are a leading source of water pollution. Zach Pistora, Kansas lobbyist for the Sierra Club, said ethanol plants also use high amounts of water, and states like Kansas are worried about the depletion of aquifers. He said it's hypocritical to portray ethanol as environmentally friendly, and said the Trump administration should promote renewable energy, electric vehicles, public transportation, and sustainable agriculture. We need to dramatically reduce our fossil fuel dependence, but relying on corn-based ethanol doesn't put our country on the path it needs, Pistora said in an interview. The Associated Press contributed to this story. Business. Caterpillar upbeat amid challenges by Tony Reed, Decatur. With mining truck sales sagging in a generally down first quarter, Caterpillar Inc.'s leadership remained upbeat as they head deeper into a 2025 financial landscape filled with the shifting quicksand created by uncertain tariff levels. The company's resource industries segment, which includes the giant mining trucks and other equipment built at its Decatur factory, had a rough first quarter in results announced Wednesday. Profits sagged to 20.8% from the 2024 first quarter level of 22.9% as total sales skidded to $2.9 billion from $3.2 billion a year ago. And orders for Caterpillar gear were down generally, as sales and revenues for the whole company dropped 10% in first quarter 2025, coming in at $14.2 billion. Operating profit was off 27% at $2.6 billion, and adjusted profit per share shrank 24% to $4.25. Industry analysts had been looking for per share profit of $4.32, and many noted this was Caterpillar's first significant shortfall in recent quarters as it chugs into challenging times. Taking questions from analysts Wednesday, Caterpillar's leadership team said it now expected an additional cost headwind from tariffs in the range of $250 million to $350 million. And that's just for the second quarter of 2025, and only based on tariffs implemented since the beginning of the year, as the Donald Trump administration seeks to restructure international trade. Caterpillar's management was nevertheless surprisingly upbeat. It still believes full-year 2025 adjusted operating profit will be within the top half of its target range. Joe Creed, the new CEO, who takes charge Thursday, pointed to growth in a backlog of orders for the firm's entire range of big yellow machines that surged $5 billion in the quarter, an all-time record. A big chunk of those orders are for the massive off-road dump trucks and other equipment made in Decatur. Customers may be growing cautious, but Caterpillar says they are still buying. Questioned by analysts on the reasons behind the surge of backlog orders, Creed said that no, it wasn't just dealers trying to stock up on inventory ahead of looming tough times. The new CEO, who said he has his ear to the ground with dealers, added, "The majority of those orders that are in the backlog are backed by a true customer order. They are not dealer inventory stock." Nevertheless, Caterpillar is trimming costs and running a tight ship as it braces for a year it anticipates could see negative economic growth in the second half. Caterpillar's shareholders, however, aren't feeling much pain so far. The company, currently celebrating its 100th anniversary, announced it had handed them a huge payout of $4.3 billion in cash in the form of share repurchases and dividends in the first quarter. Outgoing CEO Jim Umpleby said, "We remain proud of our dividend aristocrat status, as we have paid higher annual dividends for 31 consecutive years." A dividend aristocrat is a Wall Street term for a company that has consistently paid out higher dividends for at least 25 consecutive years. Higher education. Heartland, Milliken, OK, transfer deal. By Matush Yannick, Normal. Milliken University in Decatur and Heartland Community College in Normal have a new agreement designed to help the transfer process for Heartland students pursuing over 40 different Bachelor of Arts degrees at Milliken. The automatic acceptance agreement was signed Tuesday at Heartland and will ensure guaranteed admission to Milliken for Heartland students who complete associate degrees in arts, science, or engineering science with a 2.0 cumulative GPA. The agreement will take effect beginning with the 2024-25 academic year. This agreement is about more than just transferring credits, Milliken Acting President Mary Black said Tuesday. It's about ensuring a customized, supportive transition for students. It eliminates uncertainty and gives students a defined roadmap toward achieving their academic goals. The admissions agreement will put Heartland graduates on track to complete a bachelor's degree within an additional 2 years or 4 semesters at Milliken. The agreement also allows Heartland Honors students to be automatically accepted into Milliken's James Milliken Honors Scholars Program. Under the new agreement, Heartland students who transfer to Milliken will be able to choose from more than 40 degrees in programs including business communication, elementary education, environmental studies, multimedia communication, political science, English, history, sports and recreation management, arts administration, criminal justice, organization leadership, sociology, and others. This effort and the efforts of many of others here at Heartland clearly demonstrate our commitment to pathways to our students to advance them to their desired degrees in an accessible and affordable way, said Heartland President Keith Corneal. For some, the pathways will be short-term certificates that may lead them directly into the workforce and into a job. For others, the goal leads them to transfer to a 4-year institution like Milliken University. Black said she and others pursued this initiative as a way to remove barriers students may face at other 4-year institutions and to make sure students have a seamless pathway toward their goals. We really wanted to spread the work and get out here and partner with our community college partners to make sure we're really serving the students, Black said. Heartland graduates can also take advantage of the Milliken Tuition Promise and the Big Blue Pledge, Illinois' free tuition program, which began in the fall of 2024. The Milliken Tuition Promise provides a reduced tuition rate of $26,000 for full-time traditional undergraduate students, and an annual inflationary tuition rate increase of less than 4%, or about $1,000 each year in the future. The Big Blue Pledge is for Illinois students who lack the financial options necessary for a private college education. It covers 100% of their undergraduate tuition with Milliken grants and scholarships, filling the gap after available state and federal grants. To qualify for the Big Blue Pledge, students must submit a free application for federal student aid, FAFSA, be an Illinois resident, be eligible for a federal Pell Grant, and be enrolled full-time at Milliken with at least 12 credit hours per semester. Specific program transfer details can be found at milliken.edu/heartland. Baseball Tournament for Fallen Policemen by Jeanette Beckett, Forsyth. The inaugural Officer Chris Oberheim Baseball Memorial Tournament will be May 16th through 18th at Forsyth Park. The tournament will feature 18 travel baseball teams from Central Illinois. Other community events throughout the weekend will include a police parade, food vendors, emergency vehicles for kids to see, and therapy dog visits. The police parade will begin at 10 a.m. Saturday, May 17th, with a tournament ceremony to follow. the route, and other event information will be posted on the Officer Chris Oberheim Baseball Memorial Tournament Facebook page. Oberheim was killed in the line of duty on May 19, 2021. The event is a fundraiser for Concerns of Police Survivors, Illinois Chapter, or IL-COPS, an organization that provides support to families of fallen officers. Illinois. Crisis looms for foster agencies. Insurance companies reduce coverage option for agencies, by Jade Aubrey, Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. Insurance companies are reducing the scope of coverage for some community foster agencies in Illinois, leading to higher costs, diminished coverage, and fewer options for agencies who say a continuation of the trend could lead to closures. If the situation worsens, some foster agencies warn that they will have to shut down, sending children in their facilities back under the care of the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. An agency advocate say doesn't have the capacity to handle an influx of foster children. In Illinois, DCFS contracts with community-based foster agencies in order to house and provide services for children in state care. The department reported that the state had about 20,000 foster children in 2024, with more than 4,000 of them in the care of community-based foster or group homes. These agencies are licensed by DCFS and must have many types of insurance to operate, including liability insurance, which protects them against claims resulting in injuries or damage to property. If a person sues DCFS and seeks damages, the highest amount they can receive in damages is capped at $2 million, which the state recently extended to foster parents. Lawsuits against community-based agencies, however, do not have a cap. And in recent years, many agencies have faced lawsuits resulting in large payouts or settlements. In 2018, the father of a 2-year-old boy who died after Lutheran Social Services of Illinois placed him back in the care of his mother, sued the foster agency, seeking $45 million in damages. LSSI placed LaVondas Hudson back in his mother's care in late 2010. Around 6 months later, he was rushed to the hospital with severe injuries, where he ultimately died. The Chicago Tribune reported that a medical examiner ruled Hudson's death a homicide caused by multiple blunt force injuries resulting from child abuse. Hudson's mother was charged with first-degree murder in 2012, but has not yet faced trial. A jury awarded $45 million in damages, although the payout was ultimately about half that, due to a deal struck by both parties late in the trial, according to the Tribune. Other similar lawsuits against foster agencies have resulted in large payouts across the country, even in instances where agencies have denied wrongdoing and claimed negative outcomes were beyond their control. In turn, insurance companies that provide liability and coverage for the agencies are taking monetary hit after hit and raising premium prices or reducing their offerings in response. The insurers say the risk is too high to continue to insure foster agencies. After a case in California was settled in December for $15 million, Nonprofits Insurance Alliance of California, the main liability insurance provider in the state, announced it would not renew any agency plans and pulled out of California entirely. Now, that organization is sounding alarm bells as it begins to scale back coverage in other states, including Illinois. Andrea Durbin, CEO of the Illinois Collaboration on Youth, said in an interview that the crisis is a very complicated issue. "I think people who have been harmed should have opportunities to recover from that harm," she said. "The complexity of it is, how do you make sure that people get the kind of restitution that they're entitled to without also completely undermining the community-based infrastructure that serves kids and families today?" Reduction of coverage. Pamela Davis, the founder, president, and CEO of Nonprofits Insurance Alliance, said the organization had never previously done a mass non-renewal like the one in California. She said insurance companies are struggling to distinguish low-risk foster agencies from high-risk ones, since agencies who are doing a good job and those who are doing a bad job are getting sued the same. In Illinois, NIA scaled back its coverage by placing $1 million limits on the coverage that protects agencies against claims for physical or sexual abuse, known as improper sexual conduct and physical abuse, or ISCPA coverage. This means that if a foster agency is sued for sexual or physical abuse, NIA will only cover up to $1 million of the settlement, even as many lawsuits are being settled for much more. Usually, insurance companies offer umbrella coverage beyond the company's limit. But NIA is no longer providing umbrella coverage for ISCPA coverage or social services professionals coverage, which protects the agency's social workers if they're sued for misconduct. The company also has significantly increased the cost of ISCPA coverage, the effects of which were felt by the Center for Youth and Family Solutions, an Illinois provider of child welfare, behavioral health, and youth services, which is insured by NIA. The center is one of the largest foster agencies in the state, serving more than 1,200 foster children across 37 counties in Illinois. Its CEO, Patrick Phelan, said the total cost for the agency's professional liability insurance in 2019 was a little more than $45,000. When his agency renewed its insurance earlier this year with NIA, the cost was more than $1 million. Phelan said he had to lay off staff and cut additional services in order to pay the insurance bill. As costs have increased, Phelan said the agency experienced a decrease in coverage. There's really only two insurers left in Illinois who are offering coverage, and neither of them will write a new policy, Phelan said. Durbin said some agencies simply can't afford this increase, and since traditional carriers are also not taking any new clients, foster agencies aren't able to drop their coverage in search of lower rates elsewhere. In a statement, DCFS called the crisis a national issue, saying that while DCFS is aware of some providers who have received notices of non-renewal for their current insurance, DCFS is not aware of any providers who have been unable to subsequently obtain liability insurance, albeit at a higher cost, before their current policy ends. Durbin said, although it's technically correct to say that no agencies have been unable to find insurance, she's aware of four that have been dropped by traditional insurance carriers like NIA. Illinois lawmakers have filed legislation aiming to curb this crisis, although it hasn't gained traction this session. Senate Bill 1696, sponsored by Senator Laura Fine, Democrat Glenview, and House Bill 3138, sponsored by Representative Suzanne Ness, Democrat Crystal Lake, have been described by advocates as short-term solutions. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, May 1st, 2025. Please stay tuned.